You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning once again to all of you. It's good to be outside. Amen. So it's interesting. Shirley and I didn't sync, but we're actually going to share from the same passage. We didn't talk to each other about it. But I'm going to be sharing more about the story of the women, the story that is sandwiched within the beginning of Jairus and the end of Jairus' story. So today's sermon is entitled Desperado. You know, what do you think of when you hear the word desperado? Yeah, you hear the Eagles song, right? Desperado. Yeah, you got to be a little older to think of that, I guess. Or some of you think of Antonio Banderas' movie, Desperado, the guy with the guitar and shoots everybody. You know, I titled the message Desperado because I think there is a quiet desperation in our culture. You know, most people think of desperation, you know, being desperate as something bad, but I want to change that from something that Jesus said. One of the things that he said was, blessed are the poor in spirit. If you really think about it, the poor in spirit are those who are desperate. So Jesus essentially said, blessed are the desperate. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit. So, you know, once in a while, I decide to Google the word and see what happens. So I Googled the word desperate, and a lot of the hits that I got was related to what? Desperate Housewives. You know, I never really got into that show, but when that show was popular, it was actually the number two show on network television at the time. Every week, it said that 127 million people watch Desperate Housewives. I'm going, is that even possible? It's amazing. So, I noticed that the word desperate housewife actually became a cultural phenomenon. Oprah did a show on real desperate housewives. Dr. Phil also did a show on real desperate housewives. And, you know, it seems like there is sort of an undercurrent of desperation in our culture. And some of these culture makers, some of these television folks are sort of trying to resonate with that quiet desperation that exists in our culture. In fact, Mark Cherry, the creator of the show Desperate Housewife, he said he was inspired by a movie called American Beauty. Remember that movie? It won the Academy Awards for Best Picture that year. That movie was about the desperate side of a seemingly perfect American family in the suburbs. So showing that there's actually a quiet desperation, even in a place where it looks so perfect. You know, I think Henry David Thoreau put it well. He said, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. In other words, most of us exist in this state of desperation, but many of us are afraid to admit it. So what I want to do is I want to share a story of a woman who was desperate and look to see what we can learn, look to see if we can identify with this woman. So let's go to Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 26, if you have your Bibles with you. So Jairus comes, as Shirley mentioned, and says, my daughter is sick. Can you come and pray for her? And so this whole crowd is going towards Jairus' house. And in the middle of that story, in verse 21, this is what he says. Okay, well, I guess I'll give you the preface. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and he saw, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. So this woman, you know, she was suffering a great deal. She was probably suffering from some sort of menstrual or uterine disorder. And apparently it was incurable at that time. And she was completely broke, the scripture tells us, that, you know, because she had spent all her money on doctors. And she was probably lonely and hurt as an individual. The ceremonial laws in Leviticus, actually, if you look at the Old Testament, tell us that she would have been ritually unclean, and anyone who came in contact with her would also be considered ritually unclean. So she was excluded from the religious life of the community. She was, therefore, a social outcast. She couldn't come to church. She was excluded. She was probably depressed, you know, and anemic, and physically and also emotionally as well. She was desperate. I'm not sure if you can identify fully with her, but many of our lives, many of us live lives with an undercurrent of desperation. Maybe, you know, you're struggling financially, living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe you lost your job, or maybe you're having a hard time even getting a job. And maybe you're struggling with your relationships. Maybe there's anger, bitterness, resentment that's just been building up in your relationship. And you've been hungry for warmth and love and approval, but it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. And maybe you just broke up with someone and you're going through a divorce. And you feel beat up and your self-image is in the gutter. Or maybe there's addiction in your life and there's something in you from time to time that get a hold of you. Maybe it's a substance, chemical substance, or maybe even greed or pride or temper or anger. And you try to get rid of it, but you end up in a vicious cycle and you feel desperate in your life. And maybe you're so desperate for approval and love that it feels like you don't have a foundation for your life. You just go on pleasing one person to another, just tossing in the wind to try to get some love in life because of this quiet desperation underlying your life. Or maybe even if things are going okay for you on the external, maybe you're feeling the sense of meaninglessness in your life, a sense of emptiness, the sense of quiet desperation that you can't seem to shake nor even completely explain. I think for many of us, there is an undercurrent of desperation in our lives. So if you feel like this woman, I'm here to declare the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. This bleeding woman, when she heard about Jesus, that he can heal, that he really cares, she made up her mind to go see Jesus. She made up her mind to go to him for healing. So let's continue the story in verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in a crowd and touched his cloak. That's his clothes, you know, cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from suffering. This woman did not have enough self-confidence or self-respect to go up to Jesus and ask for healing. I mean, she thought, I just try to get close to him and touch his cloak, and I will be healed. So even though the crowd was almost crushing Jesus and surrounding Jesus and pressing upon Jesus, the version of the story says, Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. That's what it says. So she pushed through the crowd somehow and touched the edge of Jesus' cloak. I don't know. Maybe she even crawled in between people's legs to get to Jesus. Somehow she was a determined woman. She wanted to get to Jesus no matter what. It was a touch of a desperate woman longing for healing. And then the Bible tells us that she was healed immediately. She was healed. How about us? How about you? I think many of us have heard about Jesus, and you heard stories of what he has done in people's lives. You heard testimonies. And for many of you, you heard that. You heard that Jesus can heal physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, and he can bring wholeness into your life. You've heard that Jesus can free you from this vicious cycle of sin and pain, vicious cycle of emptiness, vicious cycle of meaninglessness in our life. You heard that he can give you a new life. He can give you a new life filled with excitement in the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to ask you, maybe there are some of you here who have not taken the step of faith that this woman has taken. It's not a giant step of faith. It's a small step of faith. It's to acknowledge that you are desperate and that you need God's touch in your life. It is to acknowledge that you are more messed up than you think you are, that you are a sinner and you can't put yourself back together on your own, and you need help from God. And it is to turn your head towards Jesus and make up your mind to seek his power in your life. It means to cry out to God for his power in your life so that you can live with his power in your life. Taking a step of faith doesn't mean you just sort of psych yourself out and create some psychosomatic energy from which to be healed. It doesn't mean that. It merely means to open yourself up for the work and power of God in your life. Are you ready to take this step of faith if you haven't taken this? You know, when you try to take that step of faith, when you take that step of faith, there might be roadblocks, just as there were roadblocks for this woman. There's so many people crowding Jesus that she could have easily said, forget it. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to get to Jesus. But the seemingly impossible situation of getting to Jesus did not stop this woman. She did whatever it took to touch the cloak of Jesus. She, like I said, she might have even crawled through the legs of people to get to Jesus. There was no sense of pride, but just desperation in this woman's life. In the same way, I think we are called to seek God, Jesus, in whatever way possible, to get rid of all of our pride and say, Lord, I am broken, I need you, and I'm going to get to you no matter what, even it humiliates me. Even if I have to walk through the legs of people, I am going to get to you because I am desperate for you, O Lord. I am desperate for you, Jesus. When we take this step of faith, the power of Jesus comes into our lives. Now, it's interesting that if we don't take this step of faith, the power of Jesus does not come into our lives. I mean, if you think about it, you know, God doesn't want to force himself upon you. Jesus respects our dignity, and he's not going to just force his power upon you. We have to open ourselves up to him so that he will come into our lives with power. I mean, think about the crowd. All these hundreds of people were just crushing Jesus. There were lots of people touching his cloak, right? But nothing happened to them. lots of people touching Jesus and pressing on Jesus and trying to, you know, whatever they're doing. But nothing happened to them. But it was this woman who was desperate, who took that step of faith, who experienced this power from Jesus. The power just came out of him. Now, what happened afterwards? So the power comes and she gets healed. What happened? Well, how did Jesus respond to this situation? Well, first of all, Jesus sought her out, did not let her remain anonymous. It says in verse 30 here, we're going to continue the story. It says, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And then somebody, a little smart alecky, says, you see people crowding against you, his disciples answer, and you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. You know, she may have thought that she was anonymous to Jesus and God, and she can do a hit and run, you know, like get healed and run. And maybe some of us think like that. Maybe you go, God, you know, I'm going to do a little hit and run. I'm going to ask for your healing. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness. And once I get it, I'm going to run. I'm going to do a hit and run. But Jesus did not let her do that. She may have thought that she was anonymous to God, but she was not anonymous to Jesus. You see, Jesus called her out. When you take that step of faith, you are not a number. You are not a person in a crowd. You are not an anonymous person. He cares for you. He reveals his love for you. I know sometimes that some people think, well, Jesus loves everybody. God loves everybody. I'm just one of those people. Maybe one in a zillion. So what's the big deal about his love? But you know, God's love for you is way more than that. Just as he said that one lost sheep was something that he left the 99 sheep for and chased after that one lost sheep. You know what that tells us is that God loves you individually. God loves each and every one of you so much that he's willing to leave everything else to chase you. That's what the scripture says about the love of God. And God and Jesus loved this woman so much that he wasn't going to let her do a hit and run. He was going to call her out and acknowledge her, affirm her, and bless this woman. You know, and the second thing that Jesus did to this woman is that she affirmed her desperation as something positive. I mean, he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. I know that so many of us are adverse to acknowledging that our desperation, our needs in our lives is something that we want to publicly acknowledge. But here's Jesus and go, the most desperate woman in a crowd. He calls her out and says, your faith. He praises her faith. He doesn't even say, I healed you by my power. He says, your faith has healed you. What does this faith look like? Faith was simple as desperation and seeking Jesus, right? Brokenness and looking to Jesus. That's faith. Understanding our brokenness, understanding that we need Jesus, understanding that the life is not the way it's supposed to be, and saying, we need you, Jesus. Understanding our powerlessness in the language of the 12 steps. Understanding our sins. Understanding our brokenness. And seeking Jesus. That's the desperation. Jesus honored her desperation and faith. And we must come to that same realization that desperation is a good thing in front of God. And when we are not desperate, we do not seek God. So whatever situation that you may be in today, maybe it's a very difficult, desperate situation. I pray that God would use that to help you seek God. so that you can acknowledge your desperation and be humble and seek the Lord. The third way in which Jesus responded to this woman was to go beyond healing her, but he actually saves her. See, the word here that's translated as healed in the NIV is actually translated saved in NRSV and many other translations. The Greek word for that is this word sozo. Now, almost all the time that is used, it means saved in a sense of rescue from some sort of a danger or divine salvation. NIV Bible translates this as healing, but I think it's more than just healing of the body that Jesus is talking about here when he said, your faith has healed you. Your faith has sozo you. There are other words that Mark could have used or Jesus could have used for healing, like therapeuo or eomai, which are more common words to indicate just physical healing or healing from some sort of a physical ailment. But this woman just wanted healing from her illness. What Jesus had in mind was far more than just a physical healing for her. He wanted to bring true wholeness to our life. You see, sometimes when we take a step of faith, we do it because we think God will help us, you know, bring some healing from some sort of a physical disease or bring us freedom from some sort of an addiction or some sort of a pain or loneliness or bring us some blessing into our life. Maybe it's a material blessing. Maybe it's a relational blessing, but oftentimes we come to God asking for a particular blessing, but it's awesome. It's excellent. God encourages you to come with all of your need, whether it's physical, material, or relational, or anything in your heart. But what Jesus has planned for us is way bigger than that, bigger than what we pray for. Here's what he wants to bring to us. He brings us to a relationship with him. He wants us to come into his family. That's why he calls her daughter. You know, she's not just some stranger out there. Daughter. Your family. I want you to come into a relation. I want you to know that you're part of the family of God. I want you to know your position in a family of God, that you are a daughter of God. He takes someone anonymous, and then basically he says, you are a princess of God. And that's what Jesus wants to do for each and every one of us. Even if we come to him for some felt need that we have in our life, what he really wants to show and give to us is his sonship, is his daughtership, is to incorporate you into the family of God. And then he says to this woman, go in peace and be free from your suffering. You know, the word for peace here is this word shalom. I'm sure in Aramaic, when Jesus spoke, he says shalom. He brings shalom into our lives. You know, when the word shalom is way more than just some sort of a transcendental meditation type of kind of a peace where you sort of empty yourself from other thoughts and you have this sense of peace. That's not the word peace, the shalom in Hebrew. It doesn't just mean inner peace. It means wholeness. It means complete physical healing. It means complete emotional healing. It means complete spiritual healing, relational healing. It means peace not only with God, but also with our families, our neighbors, and even among the nations. So shalom is this state of reconciliation with God and with one another. And when all of the fabric of our lives, different parts of our lives, come together physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. You see, what God has for us is way more than we can ask. Amen? And I want to ask you one more time, do you feel desperate like this woman? Broken, messed up, need healing? Maybe it's not as explicit as this woman, but there's a quiet desperation in your heart. And do you want to do something about changing that? Would you take a step of faith and seek Jesus and touch the edge of his cloak? And I think when we do that, what he brings is way more than we expected. When we began a relationship with God, think about it. Most of us have these testimonies. You know, we came because we're just broken. We're just messed up. We needed some help. But what he gave as we enter into this relationship with him is way bigger than I had ever imagined possible. Way more powerful than I had ever imagined possible. He begins to not only free us from substance abuse for which we sought Jesus, but he actually gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. There's so many things that he begins to build into our lives, and our characters are changing as we follow the ways of Jesus. There's so much more. There's so much beauty. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we remember that day outside when people were crushing against you. And even while you were in a hurry to go heal Jairus' daughter, you stopped and acknowledged this woman who was desperate. Lord, you care for each and every one of us who feels a sense of desperation in our heart. Lord, I pray that your spirit will come upon each and every one of us, O Lord. And I pray that our faith in you, that our, as we acknowledge our desperation and put our faith in you and seek you, I pray that, Lord, we will experience shalom in our life. And we will be bearers of shalom to our neighbors, to our community, oh Lord. Let there be no walls between us and our neighbors. Let there be no walls between us. Help us to love one another and experience shalom. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.